Slowly, I made my way back to the sitting room, and when I opened the door, the girl turned quickly with the makings of another big smile. She made no attempt to hide her disgust when she saw it was only me. "Mrs. Hall thinks he should be back fairly soon. Perhaps you would join me in a cup of tea while you're waiting." She gave me a quick glance which raked me from my rumpled hair to my scuffed old shoes. I realized suddenly how grimy and sweaty I was after the long journey. Then she shrugged her shoulders and turned away. The dogs regarded her apathetically. A heavy silence blanketed the room. I poured a cup of tea and held it out to her. She ignored me and lit a cigarette. This was going to be tough, but I could only try. I cleared my throat and spoke lightly. I've only just arrived myself. I hope to be the new assistant. This time she didn't trouble to look round. She just said, "Oh." And again the monosyllable carried a tremendous punch. "Lovely part of the world is," I said, returning to the attack. "Yes." "I've never been in Yorkshire before, but I like what I've seen." "Oh. Have you known Mr. Farnham very long?" "Yes." "I believe he's quite young." "About 30. "Yes." "Wonderful weather." "Yes." I kept at it with courage and tenacity for about 5 minutes, hunting for something original or witty, but finally Miss Brompton, instead of answering, took the cigarette from her mouth, turned towards me, and gave me a long, blank stare. I knew that was the end, and shrank into silence. After that, she sat staring out of the French window, pulling deeply at her cigarette, narrowing her eyes as the smoke trickled from her lips. As far as she was concerned, I just wasn't there. I was able to observe her at will, and she was interesting. I had never met a living piece of a society magazine before. Cool, linen dress, expensive-looking cardigan, elegant legs, and the glorious red hair falling on her shoulders. And yet here was a fascinating thought. She was sitting there, positively hungering for a little fat German vet. This Farnan must have something. The tableau was finally broken up when Miss Brompton jumped to her feet. She hurled her cigarette savagely into the fireplace and marched from the room. Wearily, I got out of my chair. My head began to ache as I shuffled through the French window into the garden. I flopped down among the knee-deep grass on the lawn and rested my back against a towering acacia tree. Where the devil was Farnan? Was he really expecting me, or had somebody played a horrible practical joke on me? I felt suddenly cold. I had spent my last few pounds getting here, and if there was some mistake, I was in trouble. But looking around me, I began to feel better. The sunshine beat back from the high old walls. Bees droned among the bright masses of flowers. A gentle breeze stirred the withered blooms of a magnificent wisteria which almost covered the back of the house. There was peace here. I leant my head against the bark and closed my eyes. I could see Herr Farnan, looking just as I had imagined him, standing over me. He wore a shocked expression.
"What is this you have done?"
he sputtered, his fat jowls quivering with rage.
"You come to my house under false pretenses. You insult Fräulein Brompton. You drink my tea. You eat my food. What else you do, hein? Maybe you steal my spoons. You talk about assistant, but I want no assistant. It's best I telephone the police."
Herr Farnan seized the phone in a pudgy hand. Even in my dream, I wondered how the man could use such a completely corny accent. I heard the thick voice saying,
"Hello?
Hello?" And I opened my eyes. Somebody was saying hello, but it wasn't Herr Farnan. A tall, thin man was leaning against the wall, his hands in his pockets. Something seemed to be amusing him. As I struggled to my feet, he heaved himself away from the wall and held out his hand.
"Sorry you've had to wait. I'm Siegfried Farnan."
He was just about the most English-looking man I'd ever seen. Long, humorous, strong-jawed face, small clipped moustache, untidy, sandy hair. He was wearing an old tweed jacket and shapeless flannel trousers. The collar of his checked shirt was frayed and the tie carelessly knotted. He looked as though he didn't spend much time in front of a mirror. Studying him, I began to feel better despite the ache in my neck where it had rested against the tree. I shook my head to get my eyes fully open, and tufts of grass fell from my hair. "There was a Miss Brompton here," I blurted out. "She came to tea. I explained that you'd been called away." Farnham looked thoughtful, but not put out. He rubbed his chin slowly. Yes. Well, never mind, but I do apologize for being out when you arrived. I have a shocking memory, and I just forgot." It was the most English voice, too. Farnham gave me a long, searching look, then he grinned. "Let's go inside. I want to show you around the place."